19-year-old Demi Rao knows desperation intimately. With just $200 hidden in her sock and scars lining her arms, self-inflicted reminders that she's still alive, she scans newspaper classifieds from a dingy motel room. When she spots an ad for a live-in housekeeper position with prominent Dr. Ivory and family in a gated community, it seems like divine intervention. The strange requirements, wearing all white, no jewelry, minimal makeup, unpainted nails, barely register as warning signs when survival is at stake. A stroke of luck brings Demi to Reina, a kind woman offering temporary shelter in her stunning mansion. When Reina discovers Demi will interview with the nearby Ivory family, she helps her prepare with an ominous warning. Sometimes we mistake a gilded cage for sanctuary. The Ivory family is particular. But what choice does Demi have? The alternative is homelessness and the constant fear that they might find her. Have you ever been so desperate for safety that red flags start to look simply like flags? As Demi walks toward the imposing white mansion on the hill, her borrowed white outfit gleaming in the sunlight, she has no idea she's walking straight into a nightmare disguised as salvation. The Ivory estate stands as monochromatic perfection, everything pristine white. Bradley, stern with platinum blonde hair and silent foam-soled shoes, warns Demi not to be meddlesome when she pauses at blurry hallway photographs. Dr. Ian Ivory and wife Daphne appear unnaturally beautiful in white attire. Their son Conrad, handsome and seemingly normal, offers a potential ally in this sterile environment. The interview reveals bizarre requirements: complete confidentiality, all-white clothing, mandatory IUD insertion, absolute silence in designated areas, restricted phone use, weekly weigh-ins, approved foods only, mandatory vitamins, monitored walks, and a required bracelet. Despite these controlling demands, Demi signs the contract. With only $3 remaining, these walls seem safer than outside dangers. She doesn't realize she's signing away her freedom, not accepting a job. How often do we ignore warning signs when alternatives seem worse? The Ivory estate represents the bargains we make, trading autonomy for security, never realizing the true cost until too late. Demi's first glimpse of true horror comes when Bradley takes her to clean the Ossis wing. Under strict instructions to remain silent and avoid eye contact, she discovers women chained to beds, blindfolded, and wearing headphones. These caged girls, hairless, thin, with red-streaked green eyes, were kidnapped or purchased through the Virgin Bride catalog and are being conditioned into submissive wives for wealthy men. The horror intensifies when Demi learns one woman is Bradley's sister, Daisy. Bradley kneels beside her, whispering, "I love you, sis. I'm so sorry. I tried everything. There's no way out of hell." Later, Demi witnesses Dr. Mason Davenport selecting Daisy from binders of women, specifying forest green contacts and bridal lingerie with a dog collar. Dr. Ivory forces Bradley to approve these selections for his own sister. Most disturbing is when Demi must watch Daisy's wedding night through glass, with Dr. Ivory warning that closing their eyes means punishment, a chilling mirror of real-world trafficking operations hidden behind beautiful facades. At the Ivory estate, Demi discovers a horrifying truth. She wasn't hired as a housekeeper, but purchased from trafficker Trent Smith to become Conrad's wife and continue the Ivory family legacy. Flashbacks reveal that 2 years earlier, Demi and her sister Lila were sold by their parents into trafficking. Lila endured abuse while protecting Demi, calling her Demillion because she was her wish come true. When Lila planned Demi's escape to Charlotte, Trent beat her fatally. At Lila's request, Demi ended her suffering. Before fleeing, she discovered Trent's police badge, explaining why they never escaped. The connection becomes clear when Conrad calls her Demillion, Lila's special nickname. Conrad reveals Lila was originally chosen but rejected for not being pure after Trent's assaults. Demi learns Mrs. Ivory was once a caged girl herself, selected by Ian. She now believes women are safest in cages and submissive, showing how trauma perpetuates when victims become complicit in abuse. The pristine Ivory estate conceals gruesome secrets. Demi discovers Dr. Ivory's office wall is made from disobedient girls' bones. The peony garden grows over buried bodies, with their tea nourished by these remains. Mrs. Ivory's special room contains rows of blonde wigs with name placards, each made from trapped girls' hair. Women are systematically stripped of identity, hair shaved, natural eyes covered with green contacts, bodies molded to fit the Ivory aesthetic. Dr. Ivory's visits to the caged girls between 3 to 4 a.m., the Devil's Landing, reveal his predatory nature. He claims this timing prevents the devil from being superior to him while calling the imprisoned women his precious birds. The house embodies evil, beautiful on the surface, horrific underneath. Maze-like hallways, keycard-locked doors, and hidden rooms reinforce entrapment. White foam-soled shoes ensure silence, just as women's identities are erased. The bone wall serves as a constant reminder of the fate awaiting those who disobey. With Bradley's help, Demi escapes after her wedding night using Conrad's keycard. Most captives are too traumatized to attempt this, revealing the psychological damage of their imprisonment. Bradley's friend drives Demi to Charleston, where he awaits with a boat. Their reunion collapses when Demi discovers a photo album exposing the truth. Bradley is Conrad's brother, born to a captive girl raped by Dr. Ivory and killed by Daphne. Bradley unveils his plan to continue the family legacy in the Bahamas, intending to subject Demi to white therapy to mold his perfect wife. His previous kindness was pure manipulation. In their final confrontation, Demi slips a suicide pill into one of their champagne glasses, which Bradley drinks by chance. During their struggle, he stabs her and pulls her overboard, but she pushes him under a wave, whispering, "You were always my favorite, Ivory," as he drowns. Though Demi signals for help after climbing back onto the boat, her final actions, wearing white accessories, requesting plain white foods, suggest the Ivory conditioning indoors, indicating complete escape from such trauma may be impossible. The favorite girl confronts uncomfortable truths about exploitation and resilience. Through Demi's journey, we see how trauma shapes but doesn't define us. Despite everything, she maintains an inner core that refuses to be broken. What makes this story haunting is its reflection of reality. Human trafficking isn't just a plot device. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry thriving on vulnerability. Exploitation continues because too many people ignore what happens before their eyes. When you encounter someone whose situation seems off, perhaps a domestic worker who never leaves home, or someone unusually fearful, will you look away or pay attention? Our collective silence enables modern slavery. Demi's story reveals that survival sometimes means making impossible choices, and healing isn't linear. Yet, even in darkness, the human spirit can endure. The most terrifying cages aren't made of steel, but of psychological manipulation and societal indifference. Sometimes, the most powerful rebellion is simply to survive.